But it's not connected to the internet. It's only connected to the network.
Okay. Yeah, we're not going to go any further with that.
You're listening to the Help Me With HIPAA podcast, where HIPAA and humor collide to make learning fun. Your delightful hosts are Donna Grindle and David Sims. Relax. HIPAA help is on the way.
Welcome to the Help Me With HIPAA podcast. My name is David Sims of HIPAA for MSPs and Security First IT. And joining me is Donna Grindle of Cardin. Hello,
very
Donna.
Good.
I know. I didn't trip up this week.
Well, you haven't finished yet, so.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, it'll come.
Well, we've got fun stuff to talk about today.
Oh my goodness, man! It's going nuts in the inbox and the newsers and stuff.
Telling you, the nerd news is alive.
I know it's killing me on the ADHD stuff.
No, I know there is. Oh, look, a fly! You know, I go over there to read about that little problem. And next thing you know, I'm over here reading about reversible encryption and crazy other stuff. So,
yeah,
it's hard to stay on top of things, but that's why we're here for everybody else.
I know. We do all the hard work so you don't have to. Or as Donna would say, she does all the hard work.
Yeah, well, luckily for you, I try to keep you informed before you get there.
Yeah, it's usually one of those, you know, right before you walk in the door, here's your notes. Every week is an impromptu performance for me.
Yes, it is. Well, the whole thing, you know, we spend so much time on our, as they tell us, you know, oh, you have a script and you do all this. And no, not so much.
Yeah, we started that way. Remember way back in the day?
Yeah, then we learned we don't have to. Yeah. And so that's why we're rambling like we do now.
Which brings us to, where are you going to be at?
Well, let's see. By the time this one comes out, I've got on the calendar two things. The first is the Healthcare Cybersecurity Officer Webinar Workshop, live workshop, blah, 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 that I do for Format Approved. It's 1 hour each day, June 20th, 21st, 27th, 28th. And if you use Grindle20, you get 20% off.
Cool.
Yeah. And then the next thing I have is July 19th and 20th.
What in the world is happening then?
The HIPAA boot camp.
Live in Tucker, Georgia. I don't know. I need to learn how to say it like you do. Tucker, Georgia.
Tucker, Georgia.
There you go.
Y'all come on now. You hear? Y'all come on down here. You hear?
Yeah. It's going to be fun, though. I always enjoy the live ones more so. Maybe it's because of the alcohol. I don't know.
So you just get excited when you get people that pay attention to you.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like I enjoy the feedback, honestly. When you're teaching in a live environment, especially when you're asking people to take part, I mean, it takes the whole conversation and the training to different places. You never know where you're going to end up going to. And what amazes me the most is no matter what you talk about, there's somebody in the room that raises their hand and like, yeah, well, you got around somewhere. Yep, we got this. Yep, we got that. And we're like, see, you know, it does happen to people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because everybody has the, you know, it won't happen to me syndrome.
Well, yeah, that's, you know, that's one of the things we'll be mentioning later on in the episode.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Cool.
How about that? So that it won't happen to me syndrome, we try to fix that at the HIPAA boot camp.
Yeah, you'll have some other syndromes maybe, but you won't have that one.
Well, and the good news is that, you know, by the time you're done, if you don't feel like you know anything about HIPAA, I don't know, we wouldn't know what else to give you. That's all. We give up.
Yeah, I mean, we already give you a double your money back guarantee on the podcast. We just can't do any better than that. So just send in your request to idontcare@helpmewithhipaa.com. Anyway, go to thehippabootcamp.com. That is thehippabootcamp.com. Sign up, register, get it now because the prices will be going up.
Yeah, it's through today. When this one comes out, the super early bird, aka worm pricing, ends today.
Ooh.
So get on over to thehippabootcamp.com.
Get on over.
Get on over.
We've had some great emails come in, even though we can't get into them here on this episode, but we've had some really good ones lately.
Yeah, yeah, I've enjoyed it. I love the one that said, I'm interested in your worm pricing. I know. It's like it didn't pass muster, but we loved it. Glad you got our humor.
Yeah, FCC didn't like it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we've gotten some really great stuff, a lot of really interesting emails about the podcast. So I've enjoyed them. And bring it on to the boot camp. For those of you who have asked your questions, hopefully we've given you plenty of answers and you signed up by the time you're hearing this. That means we're looking forward to seeing you.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
All right. So this episode, we're going to dive into something that we kind of glazed over last week, but it seems like we're not the only one that glazed over it because it's back in the news this week.
It just keeps coming. So I finally said, you know what? Let's just talk about it.
Yeah. So,
because it's kind of scary.
It is. It's scary in a lot of ways, but for me, what makes it so scary is that there are a lot of people who have these routers that we're going to be talking about. And probably the worst part is they don't know.
Yeah, you don't know what you don't know. We always say that. That's why we're here.
Yeah, so we're going to tell you what you don't know.
We're going to tell you what you don't know that you should be worried about. And if your tech people are listening, then you need to understand they don't know.
Yeah.
And they need your help. Mm-hmm. So they need not only help, but if it's a HIPAA environment, they need to document that they dealt with these things. You know, that we heard this alert and we immediately activated our team who evaluated all of our information, and these are the findings.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that needs to be done. So get your pencils ready. Sharpen your pencil. Tap your tongue.
Tap your tongue.
Let's, you know that.
Yeah, I know.
That's the way we get started, you know. But we do have some very serious issues concerning network security alerts that have been coming out. And I don't think we often discuss network security alerts and how many are happening. You know, there's a huge list that happens every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And often everybody, it's, you know, it's patches. That's what we talk about a lot, about the importance of patching and regular patching for software that people know they're using.
Mm-hmm.
Windows, Office, Adobe, those kind of things. But there's a ton of software they don't know they're using.
Right.
And those alerts are the ones that we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about what you don't know that you need to know.
Yep.
And that is related to, and many people have probably seen it, it was on Facebook, they put it everywhere, the FBI public service announcement asking you to reboot your routers. And that came out on May 25th.
But we also tell people that, you know, a lot of these FBI things are fakes. You never know where they're going.
Well, this one you can actually go to the FBI site and see it.
It's like, oh, there's one of those scammer things Donna was telling me about.
Yeah, I'm not asking you to give me anything. I'm just asking you to reboot your router. So we will give you the link to it so that you can see where you would go look for these FBI alerts. Interestingly enough, though, it is rare that these come from the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
That tells you this is a big deal. And their alert says foreign cyber actors target home and office routers and network devices worldwide.
That's big. Don't matter if it's flat or round, it's worldwide.
I know. It's you're such a nut. So I don't know about you. When you saw this, maybe I kind of thought, they're overreacting or something. And then I read the details.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I've read, the more concerned I am. I mean, I immediately rebooted all of our stuff. Right. But then I read the details and I went, that's going to require a lot more effort.
Just reboot again.
Yeah. So here's the actual lead-in from FBI on that, that they, the foreign cyber actors have compromised hundreds of thousands of home and office routers and other network devices worldwide. These actors used VPN filter malware to target small office and home office routers. The malware is able to perform multiple functions, including possible information collection, device exploitation, and blocking network traffic. Network traffic, which you add all that up, and it's quite scary.
Yeah.
And it's very significant in far as what kind of damage it can do and how far it's been able to spread.
So, Donna, for the listeners, the non-technical listeners.
Yes.
That awesome antivirus package that you have on your computer, would it help you?
No.
So when it's when you hear the, but we have antivirus.
Yeah, we use 3 or 4 antivirus. Yes, and this again is targeting not what we always call business routers, firewalls, UTMs. Those are business size. Mm-hmm. This is targeting home and small office.
Yeah,
which goes back.
Unfortunately, a lot of these things are used in offices.
Well, or even everybody that works from home.
Right, home offices as well.
Yeah, that, you know, I'm not thinking so much about the bigger offices. If you're using business level, you know, stuff, that's great. And you, as far as they can tell, it's not, you know, targeted to that level. But who knows what at the rate this thing is showing itself. But all of the people who work from home need to worry about this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I work from home and I use a VPN tunnel, so I'm good. This thing's reading everything as it goes out of your VPN tunnel. So the scary thing is, as I mentioned last week from Secure World, it's like every time you turn around, this came from Russia. And it's not that, you know, Russia's targeting you. Russia is constantly testing new ways to do things, and the vast majority of the devices with this original infection are in the Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
Which is also where NotPetya started. It's also where a lot of stuff from, say, WannaCry and all those other things. So there's one in France that started from Russia. So it's them constantly trying new ways to attack. And they're like, oh, well, it doesn't matter. It's not me.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean,
people need to understand we are in a cyber war day in and day out. And you're either part of the problem or you're part of the solution.
Yeah, you're a pawn. And that tells you something. We all, if you've ever played chess.
Oh, you know, you're the queen.
Don't you forget it. I can move in every direction.
I know, I've seen it.
But the reason that they're called pawns and you have so many of them is you use them as sacrificial lambs, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you are, being led to slaughter by these people because they want to see what they can collect. Oh, I don't have anything they want. You have clearly never had your identity stolen. Or if you're working from home, imagine everything you're typing is being sent to somebody in Russia and they can use it however they see fit, either to blackmail somebody or to blackmail you, or to use it as a statement that your company made, put it on social media as you. There's a million nefarious activities they can perform.
Mm-hmm.
So the important thing to know is we in the United States believe this is Fancy Bear, who's backed by Russian intelligence, that's creating this stuff. So that's why it's so serious, is that it's being used as a scary attack mechanism, and we don't know what all they'll do with these things. So, what?
I'm just laughing that you use the word scary and Fancy Bear in the same sentence.
I knew. I knew it. We just had to get it out. So, interestingly enough, though, the original announcement said, you need to reboot your router. And so everybody's gone and rebooted their router that heard about it and realized they needed to. Problem is, that didn't fix anything. You know, the headline said, the FBI wants you to reboot your router. Well, what they knew was that anything that seemed to be actively doing at the time, it would wipe it out when you reboot. So then they just have to wait for you to get reinfected. So it did say down at the bottom of the initial alert, owners are advised to consider disabling remote management settings on devices and secure with strong passwords and encryption when enabled. Network devices should be upgraded to the latest available versions of firmware.
You might as well hang that up.
No. So, I mean, the number of times that people don't even change the passwords on these devices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, admin or admin password.
Almost every time works.
Uh-huh. Or just password without entering anything in the username field. Or, you know, there's all of these defaults, and you don't realize that all I have to do is look at the model of the device and Google that device model admin, and there's the defaults.
Mm-hmm.
So if you haven't changed those, then hello, that means that everybody else can around the world. But the downside is that, you know, not only did the reboot not work, all it did was clear the second and third stages of the malware, which is in itself a little concerning because there's three stages to this malware. And the first one stays after you reboot, and that's the one that lets them remotely access it and load the software.
Which goes to stage three.
Yeah, I know. Then they start to stage two, which that's where they can do file collection. They can execute some commands. They can do data exfiltration.
That's not good.
They can manage the device and several other things. And okay, so now everybody that says, well, we don't have access to the EHR, so we don't access the PHI, but we do have complete control of the routers. This is what it would be like if they were not responsible for being a business associate.
Mm-hmm.
They have complete control and the ability to do these things because stage three is they run software that allows it to understand your traffic, capture it, and track every bit of traffic going through that device. So think about somebody, let's just say they're an important individual and they tend to go to sites that they wouldn't want anybody to know about. And let's say they go to the trouble on their browser to use tools to maybe not leave evidence. But if that router's infected, somebody knows where you're going. I'm just saying.
No political office for you.
I know, really. And if you're already in it, hello. Here it comes. Imagine the tiny little soldier, the pawns.
Yeah.
Because you're going to topple right on over. And on top of that, here's the even scarier thing is that it's also designed, this malware's designed, where it can brick the device.
Which means?
it's no more capable of doing anything than a brick.
It's a nice paperweight.
That's right. You can throw it through the window when you're mad.
You sound like you've done that before.
Maybe. You know, other things went through the window. But clearly, if you think about that process, you know, we all get mad when we update something. And, you know, you and I will be like, well, I updated something and I bricked it.
Mm-hmm.
No, no. I mean, that nuke and pave thing is what we always talk about. But, you know, you've essentially made it useless.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, it's so useless that the actual mechanisms in the device, I don't know how to explain, but they make the device run at such a high speed doing so many bad things that it like burns it up. I mean, is there any better way to explain how they overheat them and Yeah, and all of that.
Yeah, just go watch Mr. Robot season 3.
Yeah, yeah, because and everybody thinks that's just something they do on TV, but no, it's not highly normal. We don't see it all the time, but this is the first time that we're seeing a mass deployment of malware that has so much functionality and can infect so many devices that, you know, the first list, it was not that many vendors, and now on the second list and the latest updates, there's way more. And, you know, we can expect there's going to be more that they'll find it in.
Now, this is not a vulnerability, right? This is already compromised, already infected devices.
Yes. Or, well, yes. They have found devices with these problems. And then once they found the devices with these problems, now they're starting to look for devices that could also have gotten the problem. And then they are finding more. Now, have they found in every single case devices that actually have it with the ones they release, or have they just found the vulnerability? That I can't be sure of. But I can tell you that most of them they've been able to find where it's actually, you know, there. But again, they're looking at the whole world.
Right.
I'm looking in Tucker, Georgia at my address.
But the rule is still the same, which is the more you look, the more you'll find.
Exactly. No matter what you do. And I don't know. How many routers do you have just at your house, David?
Routers?
Or NAS devices, because this also does NAS.
I just have one. I just have one UTM.
Yeah. See? I got two different routers and two different NAS devices I'm having to worry about. And I was about to add the UTM. I'm still working on getting that done. Just so that we can have the ultimate nerd level at home. But thinking about just how much, you know, if you just look, I think about my family and my friends, just the ones I know about. I don't have time to run around and do all that. Do you? I mean, what do you do about it?
Well, yeah, I have to deal with it. I can't tell them to call an IT company.
Yeah, no, really.
I'll get somebody on it. Put a ticket in.
Well, I'll handle some of them because I know if anything happens, I'll handle that too. But the fact that now it appears that the best thing you can do is save the configuration, set it to factory settings, like wipe it completely out, and then make sure you have the latest firmware, and then reconfigure it for all your stuff. That's how you can be sure. So, and then they say these network access storage, NAS devices, because you got to call it something, right?
Right.
And they were quite popular before the popularity of cloud servers. And I know we have two.
Yeah.
But supposedly they're also capable of infection.
Yeah.
I mean, we keep ours turned off. So we don't really use them anymore, but they're backup stuff and, you know, stuff I have to worry about. But
well, there's other things you can have your NAS do. So an IT company could have your NAS, you know, doing anything from running WordPress to being some type of server. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of things you can do with them.
So what you need is you need your evaluation. You need to talk to your IT company to make sure whatever devices you're using in your office, because you could have the main one at your main office be the business level, and then maybe somewhere else they've put in one that's separate for some reason. You never know.
Yeah. Well, normally it's because when you tell somebody, hey, you got to have a, you know, $700 or $800 UTM at your home for your home office, and they're like, what?
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I'll just put in this $99 one I got at Walmart.
Right. So all of people that access remotely from home, you want to check those out and make sure that somebody's looking into what they need. And if they're on the list or at this point, because they keep finding more, I think if you have any small size router, you should nuke and pave. I don't know about you, but
all right, just go buy another one.
It's got the same problem. Yeah, anyway.
Well, but, yeah, that might be true, but a lot of these, you know, a lot of these routers that I run across, I mean, they're 5, 6, 7 years old. They should have been thrown away a long time ago.
Yeah, there is that. So that is an option because you could get it to the latest version, which most of the firmware updates, I think, are clearing the problems. But get it to the latest version and reconfigure it. If it's old, it's time. Mm-hmm. But as you pointed out earlier, before we started recording, what is it that you said about, I don't need help?
You're talking about the it won't happen to me syndrome?
Well, yeah, I don't need any help with this. I don't need professional IT support, but I don't have a clue how to do this.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. There's people that often, you know, don't think they need IT support because maybe they know a little bit about IT. Or I mean, some of the stuff to get things up and running is not hard to do, but the problem is you don't know what you don't know. And certainly if nobody's looking, then you have no idea what's going on in your network.
Yes. Very good on your recall.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Which is what is the perfect segue to the other points that we wanted to get in here. That is, there are other network security alerts you don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not paying attention. And if you're an IT company and you're not paying attention, naughty, naughty, naughty.
Yeah, and this particular vulnerability or problem, I mean, it only got your attention, not yours, Donna, but some of the listeners. It only got their attention because it was so widespread and so much media coverage. But we see dozens and dozens of these a day that never get out into that type of media coverage.
And so a good example of that was one last year. And I've often talked about printers and the problems that network printers,
I hate printers,
create. I know. I do too. I do. I hate them. It's one of the most satisfying things about not doing IT support anymore is not getting the call of I can't print. It was like the worst thing to me. You know, I can't print. I can't scan. I hate those calls.
I know.
And, I feel bad because I help friends with their computers and they'll call and tell me that. And I'll be like, please don't talk to me. But anyway, these network printers, and last year they came out with this, and it's one of those where, you know, they have these bug bounties.
Mm-hmm.
And Google, Apple, all the big name software companies have them. But these guys, what they do is they just go out there and try to figure out how they can get in trouble and prove that there is a vulnerability. So these guys were able to prove one of these vulnerabilities to the point that you could use these to get all the way through to Google print services, which is not easy to do. And, you know, Google paid them like $3,300 and they're like, yeah, you can finally get to us. But they weren't worried about the actual vulnerabilities that they found on 20 different vendors' network printers.
Mm.
20. And we're not talking fly-by-night printer.
And then there was 20 vendors out there for printers.
I know. You know, you got HP, Lexmark, Brother, Dell, Samsung, Konica, Minolta. But there's Okidata, I think, is still one out there. Epson, all of them had this vulnerability. And the sad thing is, all that a hacker has to do is find an IP address of a printer that is a network printer that might have one of these vulnerabilities. And it's just a matter of time, once they get on it, that they're able to be sitting there capturing copies of all the printed information and sending it to themselves.
Hmm.
Well, you think about what everybody prints, because it's so important to print it. But also, from there, we've heard many times that from the printer, they'll do whatever they can do on the printer, but they're also then able to see what information is coming from what IP addresses. So now I know, because I've watched all this information and I've captured it, I know who's printing financials. So now I can target that person and I can try to access their systems and track their, you know, let's see how many different passwords they actually use.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so there's another one. If you haven't worried about getting your network printers secured, those should be on your risk analysis and you should be securing them and making sure that you have, I don't know what you guys do, David. I know that we've talked about it before when they want to install a printer. and you get the call that says, I need the admin password.
Oh my gosh.
So what do you do when you get that request to get that printer installed and worry about the security?
We do it for them. You will not get the admin password.
And I struggle with this because you get those big companies that offer service on those big devices, you know, mm-hmm. and they want to control the password for admin on it. I don't like them having that control.
No. I mean, just so far we have not had a knockdown drag out, but we just won't do it. It, you know, usually when we explain to the client what it means to do that and why we don't do it and how it protects them, then they're usually like, oh, okay, cool. I don't want anybody to have admin access anyway. I'm like, yes.
Yeah, but it's the password, the admin password on the printer itself is also a concern.
Mm-hmm.
When you ask people, oh, well, we don't leave the default. We have our own. Well, is it the same one you've had for the last 10 years? Yeah. So everybody that's ever worked for you knows the admin password for those devices. Have you had any turnover?
But it's not connected to the internet. It's only connected to the network.
Okay. Yeah, we're not going to go any further with that. All of the things that we just talked about, it really is that you have to know what's out there in order to protect yourself, and somebody has to be paying attention to these things. And if nothing else, you go through all your devices and you make sure you have the firmware updates at least on a quarterly basis. But again, it goes back to that when I ask for, I need a hardware inventory. And they're like, why do I need, that's it, just too hard to keep up with. We've actually had MSPs tell us, that's just too hard to keep up with. We don't do it.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Well, you know what? If I don't know where they are, then number one, I can't protect them.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I won't know when they're gone.
Yeah.
If somebody steals one.
Not only that.
That's why you have to have it.
And people are going to add things to the network all the time.
That brings us to, I know how much you love this one. Shadow IT.
I know. We had that just twice this week, actually.
So you go ahead and explain. Shadow IT, Lucy. Explain. Yeah.
Well, so one of them was dealing with Wi-Fi. The one of the employees decided that since they knew the Wi-Fi password for the employees, so they would willy-nilly give it out to other people.
Nice.
Yes, thank you for that. So now we have people connected to a portion of the network that is only meant for employees, and you know these people are not employees. And then in Exhibit 2, we go out on site and it's like, why is this computer not monitored by us? Oh, because we brought that last week and we put it in ourselves. Aren't you so proud of us for having to do that ourselves and not calling you? No, I'm not proud of you for that. That was dumb, dumb, dumb.
There's more to it than, you know, shadow IT is when it's somebody that literally is that dark shadow behind the IT person that thinks that they have it and they're about to be jumped by this cloak of darkness.
Yeah. I mean, they think they're helping out. I get it. I mean, like the person said today, aren't you proud of me? I was able to do this, whatever. But no, not really. Because number one, you didn't do it right. And number two, there's no protection on the machine. There's no monitoring on the machine. And it is connected to the entire network for 3 days. And we wouldn't even have known about it if you hadn't called and said, I can't print.
So there is a reason for printers.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing is that people don't understand, which is another reason. One of the things that we have people do is have a checklist of everything that's supposed to happen when they put in a new computer. There's a checklist of everything it should have on it. And then you give them that checklist. And if you don't know how to do all those things, then you don't put in a computer. You don't get to decide that you can skip one or exit. No. The number of things that you hear about and you see, things like so-and-so over here wanted to have wireless access, and we weren't providing it. So they said, look, you and all my friends, we're going to set one up. So I can plug this thing in just like I did at home, and we're going to have our own wireless network.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Happens all the time. People do it. Or I don't have enough functionality at my desk, so I'm going to do what I do at home and add more capabilities where I can connect more things. That is what Shadow IT does.
Here's another good one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The doctor can't get his laptop connected to the Wi-Fi network because he's never brought it into the office. So he connects it to the guest Wi-Fi and starts doing his EHR charting.
That's the reason the guest Wi-Fi needs to be properly configured so that you can't go from that one over to the other one. Or if you're cloud-based, you shouldn't be on that one. So, yeah. But it's that whole thing of, I don't need to worry about these things because I already know how to do this. And, you know, oh, I love the one where the guy comes to me. He's all excited. HIPAA lady. And he comes running up to me. He was one of our clients at HIMSS. And he says, you're going to be so excited. And he's a sales guy. And he says, I've been struggling and I decided I needed a printer in my office. And I saw one on like QVC or something. I bought it on a TV ad to go in my office, and he saw my face just drop. He goes, wait. So I bought it, and I took it to my office, and I unpackaged everything, and I got it all set up, and I was about to plug it into my computer, and then I heard you in my ear from our training class. That thing may have come from China. That thing may have stuff built in it already. That thing may not be secure. So he calls the IT guy and he says, hey, I was thinking about putting this printer in. The IT guy immediately came to his office, looked at what he had, packed it all up and says, new printer for your home. This ain't going on my network. No. But he was that close to doing it because he knew how.
Yeah. Well, the thing we have to fight against in IT a lot is that just because something works doesn't mean it's done properly. You know, we oftentimes come in to prospects and we do an analysis and all this stuff, and we come back and go, look at all these problems. And they're like, wait a minute, but everything's working fine. I'm like, no, it is not fine. Working it is, fine it is not.
That's right. Yeah, it's that old thing. Just like, as long as I have checks, I can write them. Or as long as my car seems to have oil in it, I don't have to worry about it. You know, if it's driving, it doesn't need any work. And when it quits driving, it needs some work.
Yeah.
You know, that's the whole thing. You know, and that's what Shadow IT is. It's not necessarily people that are trying to be malicious. It's that they know enough to be very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
I know. It's where you walk in and you see it and you're just stunned with what you're looking at. What is this? You know, or the Alexa in the OR at a surgery center.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all you have to do is connect it. You know, and it's so easy.
And the bad thing about it is I have seen some of these things happen when I have come in and somebody goes, well, we didn't do that. That was from the last IT person. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, it's when I got a guy IT.
Yeah, it's like,
because those are often people that don't know security. They're no different really than the shadow IT. They're just better at the IT.
Well, that kind of goes to the Trello thing that we will talk about one day.
Oh, God. Well, you know, let's just throw that out there. It's the same kind of thing. Hey, we can use this. And we tell people, hey, use Trello for your project management.
Mm-hmm.
But there's an option, whether you make it public or private.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what would you want your HIPAA compliance program, public or private?
Well,
or any other things you work on?
I want it to be the most convenient, so I'll make it public so that I don't have to deal with security.
Because what's the number one rule?
Security is not convenient.
Number two.
Security is not optional.
And number three,
I forgot.
See, you know the first two, and that's the most important, right? And then you stop.
And security is not free. That's number three.
The last one is security's not supposed to prevent you from doing your job.
Yeah.
But you have to reference one and two first before you get to three.
This is true. So, I like mine. Security is not free.
Says the man who sells security service.
I know. Yeah. There's a big difference between the free and paid.
I know, really. But that is where a lot of that comes from, is that I'm not trying to be malicious. I just think this is not necessary. Well, you think it's not necessary because you don't understand it. You know, I don't think it's necessary to change the oil in my car except every 20,000 miles. I might be wrong.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's like the time I went to the doctor and he's like, you got appendicitis. You need an operation. I was like, I don't think so. And he's like, no, you don't get it. This is not an option.
Yeah. You might die.
Yeah. So I was like, well, can you do any more tests to make sure?
No, really. I don't believe you.
Yeah, he was right anyway.
Yeah. Oh, no, don't you hate that?
Yeah.
It's that same. It's the same concept over and over. And I think it happens in a lot of ways because we as IT people, we make things easy. And so then everybody gets frustrated and they say, well, it's not as easy for me as it is for you. No, it's just I understand what I'm going through. I understand the steps. And because I understand the steps, it makes it easier for me to do it. So it's in that process of understanding the steps. And if you don't want to understand the steps, then you just keep pounding away on rule number one, rule number two, or rule number three with your IT people until you get all three of them working.
Yep. So, 'tis true.
There you have it. So anyway, if you have not made sure that all of your devices that are not normal devices, you need to know who they are, where they are, what they're doing. You know, if you've got an Xbox over in the corner, time to ask some questions.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Don't even get me started on the gaming devices.
You love them, though.
I do love gaming devices. Mm-hmm. I just don't like when I go to a client and their business machine that has their EHR program on there also has a bunch of games that they downloaded from Facebook.
Oh, God. That makes me want to poke my eye out. So, with that, and now I've lost my left eye. We will go with the end of this episode for now. Good luck.
Yeah. All right, folks. That is all for today. So now you know how everybody's a now network security expert. You know what you need to go out there and do. But honestly, the main thing is understanding that if nobody's looking, then you have no earthly idea what's going on. And that's a big deal for security is you got to be looking.
If you're a looking, trouble's not cooking.
Okay, I'll go with that.
Yeah, there you go.
That is truly all for today, folks. Please remember to follow us and share us out on social media. Like I said before, Donna loves to be shared out to people. Rate us on your podcasting app. Hey, we do have an app out there. We haven't mentioned that in a while, but it's out there. So
get the app.
Download that and check it out. It's pretty good stuff. But help us out. Spread the word. We get new listeners every single week. We love those people. It's like, oh, I just found you. Oh, my God, you're awesome. And then they, first they tell me how great I am and all that. And then they go, yeah, Donna does a great job too. But anyway,
Cooper.
Thank you all for listening. And as always, send in your questions and ideas. We read all the questions and Donna answers all of them. Now that I found out they were going into my spam folder, maybe I'll be here to answer some of them.
As we know,
yeah,
David does so much.
I know. So anyway, for Donna and myself, remember, the HIPAA is not about compliance. It's about patient care.
You've been listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, hosted by Donna Grendel and David Sims, the show created to help you with HIPAA. For more information or to ask us a question, visit our website at helpmewithhipaa.com. Neither Donna Grendel or David Sims are attorneys, and they do not offer binding legal advice concerning regulatory compliance. The information in this podcast should not be relied upon or construed as legal advice in any way. Consult your attorney for legal advice concerning compliance with HIPAA regulations.